Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us again. It's Tuesday night, August 21st, 2018. And yes, another month. It's on its way out of here. Building Families and Communities Institute is the sponsor of this podcast. And what we are doing is sharing our research-based dialogue, information, and lecture series. The website that you just heard, bfcinstitute.com, is an excellent place to learn about our efforts there. And our efforts are under the umbrella of Building Families and Communities Missions Incorporated, which is a 501c3 nonprofit based in Nashville, Tennessee, established in 1998. All right. That was for the sake of those of you who perhaps just joined us for the very first time. We encourage you to give us a call here live in studio at 657-30944. Again, that number for you to call live in studio on Talk Straight is 657-383-0944. Of course, those of you who are following us on Facebook Live, feel free to enter your posts, your comments, and we'll be happy to respond accordingly. Just to format again for those who perhaps have just joined us for the first time, I will offer a brief monologue and background for the conversation we'll have today. And I don't expect everyone to agree with me. We do expect, or nor agree with other callers that may call in. However, we do expect everyone to be cordial and responsible and respectful to one another, despite the difference in opinion that we might have. Ultimately, as the host and the executive producer, we will have maintained control and honor and structure for the show, and we will have the last word. But we appreciate you joining us, and we encourage you to, again, be a part of this most informative dialogue here with Talk Straight. Again, this is your host, Reuben Dockery. And one last time before we go into our monologue, the number to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. I anticipate having Pastor Ricky Waller, who's been an excellent co-host, to join us this evening. That's providing that his ministry, which he's very adamantly busy performing, does not pull him away. We are grateful for all of his sacrifice, input in this seminar lecture series. And now it's been going on for about 2 years now. Come November, it'll be 2 years. And we thank you as well for following us, participating. All righty. Having said that, we're going to go right into our monologue. So our topic tonight is related to the fact that to be free is to exist without restraint, control from any person or thing. In 2018, too many people offer for their behaviors the explanation that they don't have success because something or someone is holding them back, inhibiting them from being free to be themselves, to do for themselves. Somehow they conflate freedom with things that are given free and others caring for you. All right, well, tonight we're going to offer you an understanding of how to be free in America. It's a personal responsibility. Yes. Your freedom is something that you're responsible for. Let's get to it. John, the 8th chapter and the 32nd through the 36th verse read, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we've never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. The Son, therefore, shall make you free. Ye are free indeed." I didn't come to preach, but if I could, I would stay right there on verse 36. Let's keep it moving. I want to begin by reading a portion of the Declaration of Independence written by Thomas Jefferson, 1776. And the context for our conversation is in the meaning of American citizenship. What makes any of us free? And what are our rights to the American dream? Okay? So because we're talking about how to be free. Thomas Jefferson writes, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station, to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, and dissent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. These truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness." Again, Thomas Jefferson, 1776. Now, all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator. You notice that they did not identify a particular theology or religion, but they merely made reference to the Creator, which is the universal kind. What I want to do just briefly is to explain the laws that govern the United States of America and how it defines freedom, the state in which you live in, your local city, town, or municipality, but most importantly, the United Nations Constitution or Charter. Consider this. The Charter of the United Nations, also referred to often as the UN Charter, was established in 1945 at the end of the World War II. Okay? And it was a treaty of the nations at that time after a very brutal, destructive war that tore up most of Europe. It was an intergovernmental organization formed, and the countries that ratified this constitution or this charter were China, France, the Soviet Union, then what was known as Soviet Union, United Kingdom, United States, and there were a medley of other states that were signatories. This was an agreement that it was intended to govern all of the signatories of this particular charter. Death and destruction as seen in World War II. Bring peace and harmony among one another. And I'm not so sure how well this has worked, but it was an attempt to govern men around the world, particularly among world powers. Okay? Now, the United States Constitution was established as America's national government and foundational laws. It guaranteed basic rights to its citizens, hence your freedom. Now, I know that historically, people of Afro descent in America had not always benefited from such a guarantee. In fact, it was not really until after 1863, but more important, 1865, that formally slavery was ended and it was constitutionally abolished. Okay? But nonetheless, since that time to now, we can honestly say that that right has been guaranteed, that guarantee is there. The Constitution was signed in September 17, 1787. By delegates of the Constitutional Convention that met in the city of Philadelphia, ratified 1787. There have only been 27 constitutional amendments. We're talking about 200 some years now that the nation declared its independence and ultimately it established a rule of government, a law for it. There's only been 27, excuse me, constitutional amendments thus far, over 2018. But this is the one thing that all United States citizens, born and abroad, are governed by. Okay? It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, you're white, you're Asian. That's not the criteria. In fact, the framers said, we hold certain truths to be self-evident, all men. What it did not do is specify any ethnicity or any national origin prior to coming to the United States, but it identified you as a man. I'm going to get to that in just a second. Okay? The state constitution. So you got your United States Constitution to guarantee your rights as a citizen, but the United States is not the thing that governs you day by day in the state in which you live. It is the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution, however, which is a part of the Bill of Rights, that provides that powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution itself, nor prohibited to the states, that these powers be reserved respectfully to the individual states. There are 50 in our union right now. All right? And it actually prohibits the federal government for interfering with those, so long as that they don't supersede the United States Constitution. Typically, state constitutions address a wide array of issues deemed by the state to be significant and important to be included in their constitution rather than an ordinary statute. Okay? Kind of like the U.S. Constitution, this is a formal document that governs everybody. They often model their constitution, though, off of the federal constitution itself. It outlines a structure that the state government is made of, typically establishes its own Bill of Rights and executive branches and head of government, things of that nature. Okay? And what happens here is your residence is what establishes your national citizenship. It's the state of your residence, and you are governed by that constitution or codes annotated, as they often refer to, within your individual state. If you do not comply, whether you agree with them or not, guess what? You're breaking the law, and you put yourself in jeopardy of losing those freedoms that are guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. I know we talked about this on last show last week. The truth of the matter is there are some people, never cease to amaze me how grown individuals find themselves in conflict here because they to lack a basic understanding of the civic order and expectations from government, all the way down from the United States, really the United, the charter, UN charter, to your local government. Now, in addition to the state having its own constitution, the codes annotated, it provides thus a city, a town, or municipal charter does this. A city charter or town charter, generally a municipal charter, as I said, is a legal document, okay, establishing the municipality such as a city or town. So, in other words, people of a certain area have organized themselves and have appealed to their state government to establish this city or this town. And they set their own rules and ordinances for every member there. Now, your residence is still established by the state, residence of your citizenship. However, you are still governed by your local municipality. Sometimes, you know, the ordinances that they come up may not make sense to you. You may not agree with them. It may seem foolish. What I'm saying to you, there is a pecking order of law. And your freedom as an American citizen, so long as you are following those or not in violation, you have no problem. You have every right as anyone else to participate in those processes. All right? Now, I want to tell you the steps to being free in America. Some people, again, I say, and historically this has been the case, Black Panther Party, the Black Nationalist Movement, and other groups have often made the claim that we're not free in America, so therefore we should oppose and buck American authority. But I'll tell you one thing, if you're not careful, you'll cause yourself to lose the rights of citizenship, the expression of those rights, by committing a crime, particularly a felony. And guess what it does? It puts you in that situation where now legally, according to the laws that are set up in the state, which you are a resident, and the municipality, which you directly live, it puts you in a position to where you'll lose even some of those rights. And that's a terrible thing. I know that. I realize that. What I'm saying to you, I'm explaining exactly how and why it is we find ourselves too often in a predicament where people are frustrated and angry and they want to fight against the government. Oftentimes, beloved, it's because, for whatever reason, people miss information about what is expected of them. Before the show is over, I'm going to offer you three steps, ways you can be free and stay free in America. But before I do that, before we open up the phone lines, we're going to go to these brothers right here. They call themselves the Ohio Players. Listen to what they said.
One best time, I want to have a good song too, you understand? I better stop right there. That bridge is something else. That bridge is something else. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're talking from the topic, how to be free in America. It's a personal responsibility. Ain't nobody's business. Ain't nobody right but yours. And I got my good friend on, Pastor Ricky Waller, who's joining us now. God bless you, man. How you doing, sir?
Hey, man, I'm all right, Pastor Doctor. How you doing?
Man, I'm still holding in the road. Outcast ain't run me out the city yet. How you doing, Outcast?
Doing good, you?
All right, all right. We maintain it, big brother. We maintain it. Listen, guys, y'all be quiet now. We have a queen in the house. We have a lovely lady in the house. And y'all hush now. How you doing, madam, out of Peoria, Illinois? Mama D, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there. God bless.
Good, good. Let me say that I had an opportunity to speak with 8112, and they've had death in their family again. So we want to ask you all to keep them in your prayers and pray that the Lord give them strength through these trying times. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
With that, friends, what do you think about this idea that we should go to another country because we'll never get a chance to be free in America? We'll never have certain rights and privileges that are extended to other folks. Is that true or is that a myth? Shoot straight with me, man. What do you think about it?
Who, that anybody?
Yeah, anybody. Go ahead. Go ahead, Alcan. Go ahead. Start us off. Kick us off.
I would say that's a myth. Okay. It's a lie and a straight-out lie. you had, listen, the rights that we have here in America, whether we criminal or not, we do not. We couldn't have these same rights in another country. In fact, we couldn't basically have these same rights over in Africa because they'll probably feed us to the lions, you know, out there in that Serengeti no night. You know, America's a good country. It's still young. It's still growing, and you know, it could stand a lot of improvements, but. You know, somehow we're going to get there. I feel like this right here, Reverend Docker. If you don't like America, go to another country and see how long you'll be there. You know, they don't want us big roles over there in Africa.
What?
They were the ones that, well, you know, they helped send us over there. So they put us back over there, you know what I'm saying, the way that we are. No, you can't stand up for your rights over there in Africa. Like I said, we end up getting paid to the lions. You know, I don't let Europe with that, you know.
Yeah.
Russia.
You make a good point, Doc, and that is that, well, particularly in the continent of Africa, there are so many different nations and kingdoms and what have you, and there's a lot of inner fighting. Now that's a good argument to be made, that where you see a lot of the death and destruction in the African continent, there's been some European instigation, colonization and things of that nature. But that's a whole other story.
Right.
That's another topic. But your point is well taken that. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I mean, from what I understand, Cameroon is the most peaceful country in Africa.
Okay.
Cameroon.
Okay.
You know,
most
people are in a peaceful country. But at the end of the day, I was born in America. All of my roots are here in America. America is all I know. If, you know, I wouldn't mind going to visit for a few days, whatever, but. I would much rather come back home. This is my home.
Yeah. I get you. You know, if I could do 8112 like Alex Haley did back in the 70s and 80s, and I can trace my ancestry and root, I'd be happy to do that and connect with my folk. You know, I'm like Outkast, though. All my years of living, where I've been is in the United States. A good thing, guys, is there's a concept of dual citizenship where you don't have to renounce your citizenship in America.
as well as have full citizenship in another country, you know. And when you establish residence there and you become an active, legal, naturalized citizen, you have dual citizenship. And some people benefit from that as well. So. But,
you
ready to go to Africa?
Am I ready to go?
That's a
very good question. I know that. Glory to God. Very good question. I must admit.
You don't want to go to Africa, man? For the motherland.
I thought maybe something that you said earlier made me think about something that I was going to share. But before I go any further, I'd like to take time out and say this 8112 and have my condolences. You know, according to you said, her loved one, some difficult times, I'm sure, you know, but God is still that same God who is able to raise up a bowed down head and give ease to troubled minds. So just in case, you know the one I'm talking about, so just continue to lean on him and he'll make it all right for you and your family. But
thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. And Pastor Doctor, you said something earlier about all men was created equal, something like that.
I knew you were coming at me, Pastor. Go ahead.
Where did that come from? Who said that? I like to think I seen it in the book when it said God is no respectable person. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith, so everywhere I go, I should be able to live wherever I go. However, it does not work like that today, you see, because a lot of times, you know, when you're trapped and you're caught up into a certain location for so long and it become you, and it's like getting out of a comfort zone. I'm all right with being here. So the question was, am I ready to go to Africa? I tell you, man, that's an awesome question. Could you give me a head on what to expect once I get there? Because most of my life here, you know what I mean? You're talking about my head was bowed down for so many years. I didn't know who I was, so where I was at and everything. I just came to myself one day and realized I wasn't ever treated like I was somebody even right here. You know, according to my learning. Now, that's according to my learning. So,
I see.
There's a song that says, will there still be people who call themselves rulers of the world?
Wow.
So if they call themselves rulers of the world, it sounds like they're going to be ruling over there, over here, and everywhere, but they call themselves that. But since I heard you say that, you know, for all men are created equal, that sounds like to me, I'd like to be free right here. But am I free? Right here.
Pastor, I didn't say it now. That was Thomas Jefferson telling that lie. That wasn't me.
Yeah, okay. I want to make sure because the word said that you should know the truth will make you free. So I like to be free wherever I be.
All right, all right.
That's where I'm at with it.
Fair enough. Pastor,
glory to God.
Oh, you see. Here your other friend right here, 3072. I guess he's been working with friend hard. How you doing, darling?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Right.
Then I let you off the plantation there?
Yeah, actually, I was off today. I just woke up remember to call the show.
Well, Outcast, you see that? She thought about it, man. She thought about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of figured she was out down there on that plantation, you know what I'm saying, making that money.
Yeah, I've been working overtime hard.
There you go. Somebody's angry with you now.
No, we ain't mad with you at all.
Yeah, I was just wondering when she was coming back.
Look, yeah. I knew y'all could hold it down. I mean, I wasn't worried about the show going on. Y'all got it.
Well, 8112 been doing her best to keep her straight here. I don't know how good she's been doing, but she's been trying. Yes,
is she on tonight? Hey, 8112.
Hey, my love, how are you?
Hey, I'm holding on.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so we were just talking about how to be free in America, and I started the show off explaining that there are a lot of frustrated people, and Pastor Wallach kind of alluded to it. He and I have had some
some heated conversations about this in terms of certain liberties that seem not to fit everybody in America. Do you all think that all laws apply to everybody? What do you think?
No.
What?
No, I mean, you can just look
yourself,
at...
81, I mean, 3072, explain yourself.
I mean, they're supposed to be for everybody, but we all know that there's some with extra special privileges that get a free pass, I mean, on a lot of things that happen. And, I mean, it's just too many things to try to go, you know, line for line and name. But, no, you can just see it. Look at the news, I mean.
Well, can I,
look at the news.
May I push back on you a little bit?
Yeah.
And challenge you a little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
You may be absolutely right. Is it possible, though, that there are a lot of people, and I'm not just talking about young children now. Our focus is on helping young people in urban America. But there are a lot of chronologically grown people who are, frankly, ignorant of the law and legal expectations of every citizen.
Right.
And they and their children find themselves in conflict with government and law enforcement and things of that nature. Is that possible, Beta 73?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. While at the same time, and I will speak for myself as being, I mean, an African-American woman and having two sons and a daughter, but I try to remind them, I mean, and sometimes we feel like, or a lot of African-Americans feel as though, you know, they're frustrated with the fact that the law is two-sided, it's doubled. You know, you got black people laws, then you got laws specifically for, you know, just for white people. But with that being said, I keep in mind, and I try to tell them to keep in mind, you make sure you follow the law that you know is going to be applicable to you and punishable to you. So make sure you don't worry about them. Worry about your law that you know, that you are witness to every day that's putting us behind bars. So if you focus on that, you'll be okay. I mean,
Pastor, let me describe what our graphic imagery for our Facebook promotion is. There is a young Afro-American male with his shirt off, and his head is kind of nappy, and he's looking like he's ready to fight somebody. In front of him is the president that was said to have freed the slaves, Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln is in a pontifical mode with his hand on his face as if he's wondering what happened to you young man that you're not free. And the young man posed a question, how do I be free in America? Lincoln's response is, it's a personal responsibility. Is that unfair, Outcast?
No, that's not unfair. You know, like I said, you know, I've been outside of law and things of that nature, but I knew what the consequences were before I started indulging in the activity that I was indulging in. Nobody's fault but my own. I don't turn around and look at a past president or people that's in power, you know, at this moment in past times. What I did it to myself. There were a lot of guys grew up with me, never got in trouble. A lot of them went on to become police officers and doctors working in the hospitals and every doggone thing else. I could have been doing the same thing that they did if I had stayed in the line and do what they were doing. But no, I chose to go outside the line. So therefore, I hold no one, no man, red, white, black, blue, or green for my mishaps. What I did, I bring it on myself. Now, when it comes to laws, some people get by, some people don't. But in here in the United States, to a certain degree now, it used to be said that if you have all, if you got money, you buy all the freedom you want. But now this coming to an end from what I if you got money, you buy all the justice you want. See, that's coming to an end now. Yeah, we look back at past times, you know, there have been billionaire children that have went to prison. I can't think of a name now, but it'll come back to me sooner or later. But
the thing is,
He already in there, but no, not him. You know, this was a female. I forget her name The one that was robbing the banks.
Yeah.
Patty Hearst.
Yeah.
Patty Hearst.
Oh, yeah. Pat.
Patty Hearst. Yes.
You know, but today. Yeah, but see, but today, I mean, even movie star was getting off to a certain degree, but now they're getting caught at all the frills. But anyway, let me hold.
Well.
Go ahead. 3721 to respond to you. Go ahead, 3721.
I was just going to bring in Pastor Waller, I mean, and with reference to how he always brings the word, you know, of God. So even with that, again, we have to personally first hold ourselves accountable, knowing that God is holding us accountable to do what we know is the right thing within ourselves first. We, like you said, if you are knowledgeable to, hey, well, this is breaking the law and it's kind of criminal, it's not right, I shouldn't do that. So like Outkast said, after you make that conscious decision and choice to do it, then it's you got to live with that those choices.
Hmm.
Rather other people get away with something or not. We're talking about you and what's right. That needs to be your first focus.
Comment on that, Pastor Waller?
You got a point about that, though, because that's something that the Word has taught me, and I appreciate him bringing that up, because it says, if you sin after you have received the knowledge of the truth, that remains
I know.
And that's what the Word of God said. So since it's reminding me, even though I once upon a time was like that, but now that I know, I get into it now. You know, I have no excuse. I can't use no excuse,
right,
but I didn't. You know, things like that. When there's a lot of people who don't know the trap, they don't know the consequences, they don't have the upper hands on what's going to take place until you get downtown. And then they put those paperwork out there before
seeing
you what they're going to do, in spite of whether you like it or not. It's a thing where the law was given but never obeyed, and there are laws for certain ones, and certain ones does not get treated like all men are created equal. You know,
now,
that just don't go.
Wait a minute,
I just thought I'd let you know.
I would agree. If we were in 1857 in Dred Scott's position, I would agree with you. I'd agree with you. If we were in 1893 in Plessy Ferguson's position, I would agree with you. Even if we were in 1963 and 64, I'd agree with you when they pushed for the Civil Rights Bill and the voters' rights. But now we're in a little bit better spot now, bro, Pastor.
No, you ain't. Wait a minute. This president you got in there, man, please.
Y'all, look,
y'all was talking about a Back to Africa rally. He rallying for y'all. He gonna help you get back.
Well, hold on. I hear what you all are saying, and of course I grew up, as no doubt Outkast did, around people that harbored those same thoughts. And understandably, I know that Jim Crow laws and black codes and things of that nature were not fair. I get it. Slavery was not fair. But in 2018, I don't see what is inhibiting you from learning what the law is, what your expectations are, and what your rights are, and living within that and not being able to live the American dream. I don't see it. Now, watch this now. Watch this now. If Pastor Waller, I'm not willing to work, establish, and develop something for myself, and I'm just heavily relying on public assistance and the government and handout, then I can see myself being mad when I don't get what I want or what everybody else who work hard and develop for themselves have. Does it seem like it's not fair? Right?
Yeah, it seems like it's not fair.
But the truth is, here's the truth, that if you work and you establish and you develop and you're within the confines of the law and expectations, who's stopping you from having anything? That's what I don't understand. Maybe y'all can help me understand it like I'm 3 years old.
Well, you know, there's nothing to understand about this. concerning myself, even concerning I have sisters and brothers that have never been incarcerated. And they're gone on them.
Right.
And they've worked in the criminal justice system.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, again, what I did it to me. I had the same opportunities that they had. I could be running around with a gun on my side like they do with permits and things of that nature. I did it to me now back to Africa. Yeah. And Marcus Garvey can't get more here with that. Talking about back to Africa. Marcus Garvey was from King Jamaica. He didn't have nowhere to send him over there in Africa. He didn't have nowhere to send him over in Africa to send him. He came over here. But, yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm a Garveyite now. Be careful.
All right, but now you know. Now you know I'm telling the truth. He was from Kingston, Jamaica.
That's right.
And then he didn't have a country
right.
over in Africa to send them to. You know, he was over there probably trying to beg them people to let them in over there.
Wow.
But then what
we
did the white man used
then,
to say? Go back to Africa? Now, I haven't heard white people say this in a long time. Go back to Africa. Yeah, white people got just meant to know they don't want them over there in Africa. Let me shut up.
Yeah.
Well, no. Now, that's interesting. Hey, Outcast, interesting case you make.
Yes, sir.
Because after slavery was, just before Lincoln died, Frederick Douglass was negotiating with him about what to do when ultimately slavery would be in the Constitution. So they were pushing for that in Congress, the Republican Party was.
Huh?
And what they came up with is the notion that once we set them free, let's reroute them back to Africa. Well, they just sent them back across the Atlantic Ocean, and they came to an area that's now called Liberia. United States went over there and colonized the area, took control over it, and said, well, this is for these people who we have painted over in America, and we sent them back over there, right? Ever since then, there's been civil war going on in Liberia.
Yeah.
Can I just bring out another point?
Go ahead,
37. Well, and I jokingly laughed about, seriously, this president sending people back to Africa, but honestly, he focused more on sending them back to, Spain and back to, he's focusing on the darn Hispanic immigrants. Do you know why? Because he don't pose possibly black people as a threat. More so than he do them people come over here, they stick together, they work together, and they build businesses. They make money.
Sure.
We too busy shooting and killing each other up.
What? Say what?
Right. Good point.
He not worried about us no more so much. Yeah. He just lock your behind up. These other people, you are a threat.
Well, now let's be fair now. Let's be 8.372, let's be fair. Let's be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I've heard him speak now, he qualified who it was he was targeting.
Man,
and that was illegal people here illegally, and those who were a threat, who had intentions to come and to advance jihad and threat and things like that. That's what I've heard him say now, to be fair. But
why are you worried about jihad? Because jihad making the money with the oil, too.
Because
so don't come over here and get the upper hand. Okay.
You were here on September the 11th, 2001, weren't you? I was teaching school.
Yeah, I was at work that day.
Well, those were people from those countries that have been identified. Incidentally, President Obama identified them as well. And they decided that we need to do something to make sure Americans were safe from this threat.
I agree with keeping America safe, but they shouldn't have never made an undercover, under-the-table deal that went wrong. And then people had to come back over here and show them that they wasn't playing with America. And
That wasn't President Trump's fault, though,
was it? For all you know, he could have had something to do with Bush, too.
Okay.
This is all just my conspiracy theories. I'm gonna stop now.
Okay, I understand. Okay, we're not gonna peddle any conspiracy theories, are we?
Oh no. I don't partake in that.
All right. Well, let's bring you back to the question. No, 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 no. We don't want to do that. Let's bring it back to the issue at hand, how to be free in America. Now, I'm going to offer three things that I believe will be helpful for anybody, anybody, regardless of what your experience was, is, or what you wanted to be, how you can be free in America. And I'm specifically focusing now on young people throughout urban America. It is possible for you not to feel as though you are hunted like an animal in the street. It's possible for you to be happy and for you to be prosperous in the context of the American dream. Now, I will say this, that to this day, there are Amer or Native Americans who are on reservations who would argue with me, probably rightfully so, that the land belonged to them first. Okay? I concede to that. I concede to that. However, since 1776, we've been over here, and I came in the, you know, I came in the 60s, so. But I'm just saying, we've been here. We've been here ever since, and then that's where we come from. You know what I mean? I'm like outcast. This is all I know. Now, right now, I'm gonna hold on to this because this is where my stuff is.
Right.
And you start messing with my jar of cookies and my milk, and we're gonna have a problem. Is that right,
J112?
Leave my cookies and milk alone. You can have them potato chips, but leave them cookies and milk alone.
But I do want to say Louis is in the house.
Hey, wait,
say Lou. What's up? How y'all doing?
Hi, Louis.
Good.
Hey.
Good. Good deal. Good deal. Good deal. Now, I do want to ask this question, Pastor Waller, and this is a preacher's question. Is there something wrong with the church telling people to defy the rule of government and to only follow God's law? That's why.
And you said to do what about, say that again for me?
Is there something inappropriate about the church encouraging people to just adhere to the law of God, what God said?
Is there something wrong with it?
Yes, yes.
The question, yes. I mean, I think it's a fair thing because, you know, if you want to know who made this day, and I know I didn't, I don't know if someone else made it, but since I know that someone made it, and if they say that it was God who made it, I believe his instructions and his guide is much better than ours. And so I would rather follow his guide than to follow my own or follow whatever somebody else made it say, because the word says, choose you this day who you would serve. So he gave an opportunity for one to serve. You know, whether he served the wicked one or whether he served the righteous one. Bottom line, you're going to serve one or the other. That's just the way it is. And you know, when you're talking about being free, and a lot of people don't even believe that a trap is being set. But when you place a net before a person or before people with the intent to capture them, that's with the intent to do harm. You see, and a lot of times the trap does not look like a trap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when people are lured into the trap, it's not their fault because they went into the trap. You see, most of the time, especially when it doesn't look like a trap. And that let me know that that is a wicked scheme and tactics by the enemy to cause people to be lured into a style that looks glamorous. You see, and I think because I came from that, I have to admit that I, too, got caught up in it. So I can understand if you're going to capture another generation, you have to keep on doing the same thing and use those wicked schemes. And I'm going to say this and turn it back over. You know, there's a scripture that says, unless Satan get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So apparently, if we're not familiar with his devices, that means he's going to cause us to be captured. Using his wicked schemes. I mean, that's just according to the word of God. And I think, you know, that's something that I'm appreciative of today because I didn't know anything about it. And I know there's a lot of people in my come up that know nothing about the Bible. You know, I didn't know anything about it. You see, so a lot of us get caught up into that trap because the world is moving toward that because they make finances off of people being in the trap.
Yeah.
And they live. They make big dividends from capturing people and putting them in a trap. In spite of, you think they would be humble and say compassionate? Okay, compassionate, all right. Okay, yeah. Go remind them once they get them downtown and tell them what they get ready to do to them. Yeah, you try to get your plea bargain and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so, you know.
I don't go nowhere, Pastor. I want to hold you right there, because what I was hearing you saying, what I was hearing from you, is that the law of God supersedes the law of the land, and that's the one you should put first. And I wonder if that is And I wonder if that may be a little bit misguiding to young folk who don't fully understand what you're saying. Listen to what Jesus said in his time when that basic question was raised to him. Matthew 22:20 talks about how these certain people came to try to trap Jesus, right? And they said, whose image is on the... They said, what image should we serve? Should we serve the government or God? And in 20 verse, Jesus says, well, whose image do you see on the subscription? They said, well, that's Caesar. He said, well, if you see Caesar, give Caesar what belongs to him.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. And watch this. Let Caesar have what belongs to him, right? But give God that which belongs to God.
Watch
this. Here's the conflict, outcast. There are a lot of good, religious, God-fearing Christians who don't know how to balance their love and faith and devotion to God with the expectation of civil law in the society in which they live.
I agree. Now, you have just, and you have just laws, you have unjust laws. I don't stand for law. So just because you make it a law, that doesn't mean that it's a just law. So therefore, I have an avenue to protest. You know, I have an avenue to decide, you know.
Right.
See, this is where the conflict come in at. You have laws that are just. God's laws are just. But man comes along and make all kind of unjust laws. I would not stand up on an unjust law. I would protest an unjust law. You know, going back to Jim Crow era and things of that nature. Now, I'm old right there.
Right. Right. Well, now, hold on. Now, don't go nowhere. Y'all got me up against the wall. Hold on, man. So with that being said, Pastor Waller and Outcast, you said you protest, right? I heard protest.
Yeah.
Now,
that's right.
Now, we see that in the street today, don't we? A lot of
protests. Well, protesting in that manner. Not protesting in that manner.
Okay.
Not in that manner.
So how do you protest a law that is not right, then? Now, remember what I said in my monologue about the framers and how they addressed that? What they said is that there comes a time when people have to divorce or separate themselves from opinions and thoughts of a government that they believe is out of control, right?
Right.
And that it is the consent of those who are governed. Now, here's what I've been telling people, ladies and gentlemen. And that is, if you don't like a law in your city, a municipal ordinance, you think there's a state law that's wrong, the way you do is you organize yourself politically and you have representation that will move toward changing that. But if you think you're going to use anarchy to just overthrow the government, that dog ain't going to
happen.
No, that ain't going to
happen. You know, they talking about, you know, buying up all these guns, man. But, man, for militia, man, you can form all the militia you want, man. But look, they can just sit back now and you know, just get on that computer and send something straight to you. Now, you buy all the guns. Now, they have themselves fooled with that. You know what I'm saying? Going back to an amendment. Man, they just sit right there in the chair and hit a button and I'll knock you off the face of the earth. You know,
I don't want to give people I don't want to give people the impression that you don't have a right to protest that the First Amendment affords you that. I'm saying though, in the last few minutes I'm gonna get to these three steps, and I think you'll see where I'm coming from. Now, Pastor Waller,
yes,
we live in the United States of America. We don't live in the holy city of God. The holy city of God is just and righteous, and the United States is low down and dirty. That's our history.
My goodness.
All over the world, we got our fingerprint. Wherever there's some frustration, some change, listen, that's our history, man. We've left our footprint and our fingerprint all over the world. Folks scared of us. But the truth of the matter is there is an order. And we read the other day, Outcast, that God established government and placed men over government. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's
yeah.
a right way and a wrong way to do everything. But to be free,
yeah.
so you don't lose those freedoms that you're born with, basically,
right.
yeah.
what you have to do is to be in compliance with law,
exactly.
like it or not.
Yeah.
Now, that's the part
yeah.
that some
right.
people have a hard time with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called the misuse of authority. You know, that's the thing.
Well,
you know, you have laws in order, but the misuse of authority, I mean, that's where the differences come in at. You know,
right.
you said, this is a set of laws for these people, and this is a set of laws for these particular people. And so what happened is at that point, someone is getting ready to misuse the authority. And put the perspective of person, you know, out the door. You know, in other words, all men are created equal is no longer effective at that point.
Right.
You see,
right.
in some laws.
Yeah.
And so we have to always be mindful of, you know, I guess I'm coming from an experienced form of knowledge of seeing right even today that the trap still remains increasing. I mean, it's like in order for them to be able to process off of people who are ignorant and unlearned, as I myself once upon a time was, there's a generation of people that are like that right now, and they prosper off of those people. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is. So is that intentional? Is that just something to say, okay, I don't mean no harm or anything, but I'm going to put this out here, and I know somebody's going to get it. I'm just going to wait and look at my watch and see how long it's going to take. And as soon as this person gets this, and the next thing I know, the whole community is going to spin out of control. I mean, come on, man. You know, that's intentional. That's wicked. You know, that's wicked.
You.
And then charge a person with something, you know, and I like what Outcast said earlier, you know, some things you can protest, and that's one of the things that need to be dealt with. It's not being dealt with. And we're not talking about protesting because someone just shot somebody. No, not protest like this. We're talking about a protest of corruption that's with the intent to do harm. You see?
Right. I see.
Yeah.
I see.
You know, that's what needs
and
to be
dealt
with.
And then maybe if they focused on that protest, like you guys were saying, the right protest, then nobody or less people will be getting shot. It'll
right.
have a trickle-down
right.
effect. Exactly.
Mm.
And I think at the end of the day, you know, while people are making decisions, they have to carefully weigh them up. I mean, it's kind of
right.
wrong anyway for you to be sitting up and trying to scheme and scam within your own self. I mean, you're part of the trap, and you're part of setting the trap when you're trying to
right.
scheme, you know, your own self a way that I know this ain't right, but if I go around this way and if I do it at this way, then at
right.
the end of the day, again, when you get caught, like Pastor Wallace say, and they offering you your one phone call and a possible cup of coffee and a cigarette, you need to just understand. You need to understand that
yeah,
Bible verse, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh
well.
Away. I mean, so there you go.
Bless you.
There you go.
Well, one thing is helpful to realize, guys, is that we live in a capitalistic society now. And I think this is where the rub is. I remember when we took my children to Florida, to Orlando, Florida, to the theme park there. And, you know, it was hot out there, man. We were standing in line. And all of a sudden, my son said, "Hey, Dad, let's go get in that line over there. They're getting right on the ride." I said, "No, you have to pay for that." He said, "What? You got to what?" I said, "You have to pay extra money to get on there." He said, "That ain't right." I said, if you got the money, you can pay for it. Well, Daddy, come on, get some money. We go. The point is, in the United States, you have to position yourself to pay so you can play. I mean,
that ain't right. Y'all standing in the hot sun, everybody else got to wait because they don't have money to pay. What?
We paid for our ride. We paid to get in, but you have to pay extra money to go ahead to jump the line, basically.
Exactly. That's why I wouldn't have been out there because I ain't paying for more than that. I'm saying.
They will
and I'm not going to get less
line,
than
but.
What I pay for. Yeah.
I believe what you do is you've fed frogs or snakes, see?
Yeah.
And I think that's your point. And that is when young people grow up not knowing how to be in a position to be self-sufficient and they see other people seemingly prospering and it becomes personal then. You know what I mean? I want some too, man. I ain't about to sit there and watch y'all chewing in front of me. I can't have none. No. But that's an interesting thing. Let me introduce my idea. Is that okay, 8112, if I share with you these three steps to be free in America?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And listen, this is the part of personal responsibility right here. Now, I know that we have families who lack proper guidance and instruction. That still don't erase the expectation of law. One, you must be taught and learn the expectation of the government and the society to which you're a citizen. Now, if you didn't get that and you didn't learn how to be socialized and interact with everybody else, it just starts in school when you see children who get put out of kindergarten for aggressive antisocial behavior. Are y'all walking with me?
It may simply
start with them not knowing how to respect the space and property of other children. So they call it conflict. Are you with me? So the first thing we have to teach our children is what is expected of you and how you maintain yourself legally within society. That's number one. Number two, establish, watch this, you all, your own personal constitution. And don't do that outside of anything other than what is expected when you leave outside your house in the city or the municipality, in the state or in the nation in which you live. What do they expect from me, right? So you have to govern yourself according to that, the law of nature and the law of the land in which you inhabit. Then lastly, if you do not, now I heard you say a couple of times, 3072, well, I know this ain't right, but that's the problem right there. The but is what gets your butt in trouble.
Yeah.
And that is... that is when you rationalize within your mind that I'm smart enough to outbeat everybody, slick out. See, one thing I keep telling people is America may have some unjust laws, they may be dirty and low down, but guess what? You ain't about to outslick this man in his lie he told 249 years ago. Don't think that for a second. The Constitution is not known so much for what it says, but what it doesn't say. I think I mentioned that only 27 amendments been added to it in 240-some years. And the truth of the matter is they were pretty clever and they were slick when they put it together. It took them 9 years from 1776 to 1787. It took them a period of years to get that lie just right. And it's been holding so far, Outcast. Even though it's a young country, Pastor Wilder Lie been holding so far. A whole lot of people have been trying to come over from other parts of the world to live in
Africa. My goodness. Yeah. It's been holding.
So the way we save young people, Pastor, in urban America is we teach them, I believe, those three things. Know what's expected, right?
Yeah.
Establish order and discipline within yourself, and then govern yourself accordingly. And you can avoid
yep.
a lot of this foolishness.
Yeah.
Maybe I went
does
wrong. Somebody correct me.
I mean, does it have to do with self-control when you sum it all up?
It has everything to do with self-control. But you know what happens when a man is not conscious, Pastor? He has no control.
Yeah.
And he can't be trusted.
Well, I would agree. I was just going to say here in Florida, we're having a lot of incidents of like car shootings,
yes.
road rage kind of thing even. And, yeah, self-control, self-restraint. My daughter and I were coming home from a restaurant the other night, minding our own business, riding in my car. And this guys pull up along the side of us. First they pulled up, looked in the car, and we still driving. Then the other one proceeds to holler at the back seat, some about, damn, she fine, and, ooh, you got a fine daughter. So for one, for you to assess that that's my child is mm-hmm. ridiculous. And two, again, self-restraint. I'm glad that because they didn't have restraint, I did. What if I'd have pulled a gun out and just lit their car up for
yeah.
disrespecting, you know, and making me feel unsafe? So,
yeah.
yes, young people, that's important. People are getting killed every day for not exercising even control and, mm-hmm. I guess, respecting other people's space. I have to,
right.
you know,
yeah.
innocent people are getting shot and killed here because, again, they, them people's space aren't being respected.
Yeah,
why
yeah,
would
yeah.
I start shooting at just shooting randomly in a crowd where there's other people more so than just my target?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
so, right.
You,
I mean,
if you're not disciplined, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say to what you're saying, if you're not disciplined to the proper use of a weapon, you're subject to do that. You know what I mean? And it's just like putting a loaded gun in a 3-year-old's hand.
But it's like, to me, it goes back to what you were just saying, though, about the first thing is maintaining control. I have control over that situation. That's what our
young
people have to, that has
that
to be
so
instilled.
True.
You have
so
control. You dictate how this thing is going to go with whatever. I just use that as an example, but with whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're in control. You're in the driver's seat right now.
Right.
At that moment.
So whichever way you direct the car, that's how it's going to go. That's where it's going.
That's right. That's it. That's
that
moment.
What I was going to say. Go ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, that very moment, because that's what choosing is all about. You know,
yeah.
choose you, but how you react to what you heard and how you react to what you just was able to see when you was in the back seat. I'm talking about the younger guys, and happened to look over and see a real fine young lady and the mother there. And so he went way over into a location not knowing that could have brought about a discomfort on your part and
sure.
start to do it, you see. But thank God that you was up under control with it. But not everybody, you know, with like that, especially if they're caring and, you know, they got that fear
yeah.
of what they take what has been going on.
Because
and it's amazing. Yeah, that's
honestly, I was. I was highly upset. I was offended, and I started to yell some curse words back out. But no.
Well,
these are
not you, sir.
These are I'm currently in the zoo, and I'm gonna keep on passing these animals. I'm just gonna look and observe them in their cages, and I'm gonna go on to where I'm safe, which is my home. So okay.
That's what
giraffes and monkeys do when they see people. They holler out and they make noises.
Let me play the devil's advocate for a second, 3072. You
mm-hmm.
didn't appreciate him thinking that the beauty that you brought in the world was so great that it just caused him to lose control?
No, I didn't.
What about
that? Not in that manner. I couldn't appreciate that at all.
Nice. Well, he didn't know no better. He didn't know no better. He didn't know how
That's not an excuse.
Okay.
That's not an excuse. And maybe he would do that around his own mom. Maybe he wouldn't care about somebody doing his mother, or if he have a daughter one day. Maybe he, I did. That upset me. That really did. It bothered me.
I hear you. Your point is well taken. Your point is well taken. And the greater point is that both our males and females have to learn to control their behavior.
And
be responsible for what they say and what they do. Because that is where the conflict comes in. Of course, you know, you all know
and
here
then,
fast well enough. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
They had the nerve to be in a regular car, which looked like it stank.
I got a regular car looking like Hannah.
I'm telling her,
girl, that ain't even a Mercedes.
That ain't even a Corvette. That ain't even a Jag. They really need
you
to
know
that.
What?
The back is coming off. They need to be quiet.
Now, come on.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm glad you can have a laugh out of it. But
that was just some humor.
And guess what? One of those young men may wind up being a trauma surgeon one day or an attorney or
that
president of the United States. You don't know.
So. Yeah.
Pastor, you and I have seen where there is great potential that is untapped. And, you know, in these type of situations, 3072, there's a teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to position ourselves to be there to do the teaching, you know.
Right.
You got to be careful. I'm not saying you be wise now. Be wise, but we have to position ourselves to do the teaching because you're absolutely right. The wrong word in the right circumstance for the trigger may happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
We having that here in Nashville, aren't we, Outcast, with some you know, and really what's happening is I believe it's a response to the gentrification that's taking place.
Yes. Yeah.
People that have lived in a certain neighborhood for generations have been displaced, and when they come back to that neighborhood they're most familiar with, all of a sudden their presence is, if not illegal, unwelcome.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know what you're doing over here. Now, my mama, my grandmama, my great-grandmama grew up over here. You ask me what am I doing over here? It's the only place I know.
Oh, my.
It's the only place I know.
Yeah,
you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Outcast.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say in the last thing. A couple of weeks ago, I was over in the Cumberland housing area. Beautiful lady, man. We had a long, good conversation. She said she had been there for 57 years.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God, I didn't know these buildings, this housing area, been there that long. But she said, lived there for 57 years. I said, wow, okay. So you know everything around here. but, yeah. So we've been talking, if you just tune in, how to be free in America. It's a personal responsibility. That's the thing I want to leave us with, the thought I want to leave on tonight with, is your freedom is in your hand, and it is your responsibility to govern yourself in such a way that you don't lose that freedom. And how you said, Pastor Waller, take the little trip downtown.
Yeah, and you see. Yes, sir. It's already prepared, man. It's laid out.
Yeah.
And they're making it unique because they know they're winning once they get you down there. And so they contemplate on how to get you down there, and then once they get you down there, they feel like they made another day, you know?
Yeah.
So we got to
you know, Pastor, there's some literature out there that says that they start determining how many beds they're going to make at those at the Taj Mahal from the time you're in second grade, man. They're looking for you. You know,
I believe that.
You're the honored guest that they're looking for.
I found it. Yeah, it has.
There's a way you can abort that.
The devil
may have meant it. I'm sorry, go ahead, Pastor. I apologize.
Yeah, without a doubt, there's a way to prevent it. There's a way to escape. You know what I mean? Because this is prison out here, man. When you lock a person's mind and put it in your heart and see a couple of dollars, you understand? And then you put that grip on that person. That's what the intent. That's to lure you in. If you're young and dumb and inexperienced and full of fluid and always ready to do it, just like I was, then they're going to capture those guys. You understand?
Right.
So you can't blame them for being ignorant and unlearned, but it's a teachable moment, as you say. You know, they need to be taught. And I go back, because I teach it in the Word of God. That's the reason why he says, go out into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that some people out there caught up and lost, go out there and talk to them people and let them know, get them some information. They may be willing to learn. You know what I mean? That's what teaching is all about. You have to get somebody that's open, that don't mind hearing truth. But if you don't bring truth to them, then, you know, what is the use
that's
of having truth in there? Why are you getting the truth up in there if you're not going to take it where it's supposed to go and to the people that it belongs to?
You
know? So, if I didn't see it in the book, then I wouldn't say anything about it. But I saw it in that. You know?
Right. The good news, though,
well,
Pastor, is go ahead, Tonight.
Well, gentrification or not, that still does not give a person the right to take a gun, rob someone. If you want money, go and get yourself a job. Now, these are just common everyday people. I mean, even though, you know, it's taking money to move in these places, a lot of these people, you know what I'm saying, they don't have that much money. Some of them just going like we are, in a sense, from paycheck to paycheck, and they're living above their means. That don't mean that they're walking down the street with $10,000 or $15,000 in their pocket. You know, I mean, gentrification or not, I mean, it's wrong. But when you repair, this is what you do. I mean, before
that's
I rob an old lady on the street or rob a guy standing on the bus stop, I'll write me a note and I'll take it in the bank. But using my common sense, I go to labor ready or try to find me a job, education or not. Petty, now you do something petty, you end up in the penitentiary for the rest of your life saying, why did I do that? Because Reverend Doctor, going back to what you were saying. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, ma'am.
Before I write the note to the bank, I'm gonna just make my own money and pass it up.
Wait a minute now. Hold on.
Oh my goodness.
Well, so the point though is that this is the power of what Outcast's saying. If you can come up with the creativity and the energy to do something illegal, use that same energy and creativity to do something legal and productive. Then you have to look over your shoulder.
That is it. Yep.
You know. And
but that sounds good. Yeah, excuse me, Pastor. That sounds real good. But when you put a chain on a person's brain and lock the person's brain down, that means you control their every thought. So you say, go rob that person, go steal this, go do that, you're going to do it. Because you got a chain in your brain. And that's how powerful the tool that the enemy used and the schemes and the tactics that they go about and how to do it. You know, you don't get a job. You know what I mean? Some of them, I believe, they would love to work. They would love to be able to go and work and come back home and do things like that. But the team won't let them because the grip is not supposed to tell them that. The grip is supposed to tell them, quit doing that. You know, hey, Outcast, don't go downtown. Rob the person right next door to you. You know.
Oh, no.
Look, you'll be sure to be caught then.
Hey, look at them brain locked up like River Waters in them brain locked, you know. They brain locked, you know.
Look, without a mask, rob the person next door.
Right, not promote that.
Oh, my goodness.
They
got
the
brain locked.
It's kind of funny. We're laughing, but it's a sad truth, though. That you know, that's the condition.
Yes.
A lot of good people find themselves in. You know, their children.
That's right.
Their grandchildren.
That's right.
That's
you know?
Right.
I guess that just speaks to the importance of the opportunity to teach and to build, you know, hearts and minds. And that just tells me, Pastor, we got to come out of these four walls, man, and do something different.
Yes, Man, that's, yeah, man.
I mean, that's what that echoes to me. You know what I mean? So they're not coming to the church out. They're not coming to church out.
I didn't go to no church, man. The man came outdoors, man. The man came out the building, man. That's the only reason why I went. I didn't go to the church.
Okay.
I didn't go up and say, let me, hey, guess, let me go to the church. I didn't do that. The man who was the founder of the church came out on the street where I was at and extended an invitation to me. And I didn't
I
even
see.
Go then. I just went years later, but at least he came out, you know.
Right.
And that's
right.
The church I went to. I skipped every church I seen on the way, but I went up there to the man who came out in the street and said something to me, even though it was years later, but I still went.
Right.
And I didn't go because I wanted to go either. I still didn't. I definitely didn't go. No, they're going to wait. We're going to wait for somebody to come to church. You know, I'll take it out there to them, but the people out there crying out for help. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, there is a responsibility here for those of us who know the truth. The Bible said, after thou art converted, then strengthen your brother, right? That responsibility that we have, that obviously we're not meeting too well.
Right.
So this makes me wonder if the man upstairs is looking at his cock ad, outcast. You know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good.
To God be the glory. God be the glory.
Yes, sir.
One of these days, Pastor, we're going to get there. Hey,
gotta keep fighting. Yes, sir. Gotta keep fighting now. Gotta keep fighting the good fight of faith. Not easy.
Yes, no. No. Look like we lost 81-12 there. Well, we got 7 minutes, guys, before it's time to get out of here. I don't want people to think for a second that I'm not sensitive to the historical plight that people of Afro descent have been going through in America. I am. I just don't believe we should allow that to blind us from the opportunities that are in front of us.
And can I ask you this?
Sure.
Pastor. You don't want people to believe that you are insensitive to, you know, the plight. So does it, I mean, how are you going to be sensitive by just going with fusions or the myths and all of, is that how you'd be sensitive to? I mean, so I'm trying to understand your statement you made there.
Okay. Well, I believe that to fix our problem, those who really care are going to have to be firm, they're going to have to be fair, and they're going to have to be consistent with that which is going to make you free. And that's the truth.
Okay.
The truth is, those young men that were riding in that car were out of order. Even though in their mind they thought they were being cute and they thought they were complimenting your daughter. They were out of order.
Right.
And in the context of things, it could have caused a problem.
Yep, for both of us.
See what I mean?
For both parties.
I don't think they meant. I don't think they meant any harm. 3072. I really don't.
I don't know.
But that's how they get down, and how you get down is out of order. And I'm sensitive to the fact that you've grown up for however old you are, all these years, and you hadn't learned any better in that time. I'm sensitive to that, and I understand that.
Yep.
But somebody's gonna have to stop and teach you and correct your behavior.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, and sometimes people think, well, you just don't like black people. No, it's not I don't like black people. I don't like some things black folk do, though.
And that's the point I was trying to make, because that's what they expect a lot of times for you. That's how I'm supposed to show that I care about my people, is by, you know, allowing us to be ignorant and me being ignorant with you. No, that's
not.
Right. Yeah.
No, that's how it ain't going on. Because what's going to happen, ultimately, if you don't wind up in the grave, you're going to get that trip downtown like Pastor Wild was talking about. And he done told you already what they're going to have waiting on you.
That special cup of coffee.
You might not get no coffee. You know.
Oh, boy.
Well, they'll ultimately give you 3 hots in a cot, though. I mean, they'll give you that much. They'll give you that much. But, well, if you just tuning in to us, we've got about 4 minutes here. We've been talking from the topic, how to be free in America. It's a personal responsibility, and I want to leave with the thought that we have, no matter who we are, where you come from, when you're in order, you make a way for you to be free wherever you go. Now, that means if you go to Japan tomorrow, you need to learn what the rules, the customs, and the laws of Japanese or Japan is and govern yourself accordingly, or you're going to have some problems with them looking slanted at you. Because they ain't about to overlook your behavior and give you no pass. I don't know what they downtown look like, Pastor, but I'd rather go downtown there in America than over there in Japan. Or Africa outcast, for that matter. I don't even want to go to Africa downtown.
Hey, look at you.
Give
man,
us a final thought, guys.
No, I was finna say something. You'd be running down through that jungle, them pork chop drawers on.
That dog ain't gonna hunt for me. No. We got 3 minutes. Give me a final thought to 37-2, and then outcast, and we'll cut out of here.
I'm just glad to be back and commune with all you guys, and I enjoyed the show. I mean, we got work.
Yes, ma'am. Great to have you back. Tell them I said don't be working you so hard like that no more now. But we appreciate you. Okay, Al-Kad, what do you want to give us? Take us home, man, before we get out of here.
Well, you know, I just want to say this. I missed 31-12 on Thursday. I'm glad she's back.
Yes, sir.
I hope things work out, you know.
Yes.
That's all I have to say.
All right, we appreciate you, man. We appreciate your input there. And we got a couple of minutes here before we get Pastor Waller. Give us a final word here, sir, as we get ready to go. We'll be back next Thursday, this coming Thursday, at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight. Pastor, take us home there, sir.
Yeah, we praise God again, and we thank God for everyone who had opportunity to share, to also to hear, and to be able to know that there is power in being free. And so,
sir.
We just power and who is the true God. Get with him and learn his ways, you know, according, he says in his word, according to Matthew, and I saw it in the 11th chapter, when verse 29, I looked at it, I said, man, it said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If we don't, that means it's a teachable moment to get to know him. So I just encourage everyone, get to know him. He's all right. He don't mind you trusting in him. That's what's going to make everything all right. Glory to God.
Thank you, sir. Again, we'll be back to the website to learn about our nonprofit efforts here with Building Families and Communities Institute is www.bfcinstitute.com. We are certainly grateful for you, and we do still have some information there and the literature there, and we've kind of cut back on our traveling series because of my political campaign, but we're still in effect there. Join us here Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight, and this is your host, Reverend Dockery, and Pastor Wallace, our co-host, good friend, Brother Outcast, and 3072 out of Florida has been with us tonight. We will see you on Thursday night at 7 o'clock.